It's ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect this afternoon. We have Paul Gessing on the phone with us this afternoon, and we really appreciate him joining us. Paul, where are you traveling today?
Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs. Well, Paul is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. He has shared some time with us here a week ago or so talking about the municipal election that we're in the middle of right now, early voting going on. The election ends next Tuesday, November 5th. And, Paul, before we start talking about the election, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some things on the RioGrandeFoundation.org website. And I'm going to start with a picture popped right up, and it says, "Riding the rails to financial disaster." And, of course, the beautiful train that goes between Santa Fe and New Mexico is pictured right there. What is that story all about?
Well, that is, of course, the New Mexico Rail Runner Express, which was conceived and constructed under former Governor Bill Richardson. And, the issue is it costs a great deal of money to construct, and the infrastructure, running new railroad track up between I-25 and into Santa Fe was very expensive. Operating the train is also very expensive. According to national reports, the rail runner returns to the taxpayer, returns to the system, if you will, 10 cents of every dollar in operating costs. So all of the construction costs, all of the train tracks and cars and engines are all what are called sunk costs. Those are never coming back to the taxpayers because the rail runner not only can't pay for that, but it loses money for every train running up the tracks. In fact, it loses 90 cents on the dollar. So 90 cents of every dollar spent to operate the train comes from the taxpayer or some other, not the people riding the train. Transit around the country is having serious problems, losing ridership, and is heavily subsidized. But the rail runner has always been one of the most wasteful transit programs or transit systems in the entire country at 10 cents on the dollar. Say New York subway and that system gets a little over 55 cents rate of return. Still not great when you just talk about the operating cost, but far superior to where we are here with the rail runner. We just never thought we had the population density or the amount of people taking that train up to make sense. And we've been proven right, but we haven't had anyone with political courage to just cut and run and get out of the train either.
Well, and Paul, let me ask you that question. I mean, is that basically something that a politician and the parties and the legislature could do, is just to say, look, we tried this. It was a giant waste of money. Let's stop. And here's an alternative plan. And I've heard that there is an alternative plan to actually use regular buses, and that it's about a third of the cost and would be much more efficient for riders because the buses could actually be operating in a loop, you know, as many as four or five or six of them. And so there would be a lot more regular stops in all the cities and would be able to make frequent stops all around, say, Santa Fe or Albuquerque and even down to Los Lunas and Belen if that was necessary. Is that an alternative that you've talked about?
We definitely have. That is kind of the best alternative. Of course, those sunk costs, you build that train track, you buy those train cars and engines, and it's a very expensive investment. But we're getting to the point in the rail runner's history where tracks are going to have to be pulled out and replaced, where train engines and train cars are going to have to be replaced. And hopefully, at least at that time, there's a strong consideration for the future of the system, because the estimate is that the cost of doing that refurbishing every 30 years or so, it costs about the same as the original infrastructure cost of the train. We thought there would be a time in coming up soon, actually, now, when there was a couple of what were called balloon payments. We were paying A smaller amount, I think around the order of $50 million a year for the infrastructure, kind of like you don't pay your mortgage over a time period. And but they had two balloon payments in 2025 and 2026, which were much higher at $125 million apiece. Those were negotiated away in literally the same way you would refinance your home. The rate was dropped, the balloon payments were gotten rid of. This is like the end of the Martinez administration when that happened. And for better or for worse, they got rid of the balloon payments. They did push out the time frame, because when you refinance your house, you extend the period of time which you're paying the principal, and that's exactly what they did. Now they got a better interest rate, eliminated those balloon payments. But, you know, from our perspective, we're hoping that some political pressure comes and is put on the political infrastructure of New Mexico to change and hopefully eliminate that particular very wasteful project. But, you know, Governor Martinez suffered through 8 pretty challenging years economically. She faced real budget challenges. And she, being a Republican, you might have thought she would address this issue. Unfortunately, all we got was the refinance. The current crew in Santa Fe, with nearly unlimited resources thanks to oil and gas, and being pretty very big spending liberal progressives, they are definitely not inclined to do anything about the train. I don't know. It'll probably be left for the next governor and legislature to maybe consider the future of the railroader.
We are on the phone with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, and Paul has a website. It is Rio Grande, Grande, foundation.org, and there's so much information on the website. There's discussions about constitution and criminal justice, economy, education, energy and the environment, healthcare, discussions about the legislature and how they operate, local government, open government, public comments and testimony, transportation, which we're talking about right now, tax and budget and other types of things that they are researching and considering. And tell us about the Rio Grande Foundation, Paul. And I want to go back to the transportation thing, because some people might think that we're kind of bashing Governor Richardson's plan and this Democratic thing in the Rail Runner. But the truth is that we tried it. It doesn't work. It's an Edsel or a Studebaker. Many of the older people will remember those cars of yesteryear that just absolutely were terrible vehicles. And you'd go spend some money, and they didn't operate, and you got out of them as quick as you could. And those vehicles and those companies are no longer in existence. And I think it might be time for the Rail Runner to be stopped. And we're not making a personal comment about the Democrats, but after you tell us a little bit about the Rio Grande Foundation on our next segment, we'll take a break real quick. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosque at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
9 out of 10 American households own a Bible, yet only 14% of adults engage with the Bible daily. The need for proper renewal is obvious in our country and in our churches. And that's exactly what we want to help you experience by sending you an encouraging resource from Lenya Heitzig called Sheology, a Quiet Time Journal. Listen to Lenya.
I know what it means to have a dry period of time with the Lord, but I know that can change. That's why I've written this Quiet Time Journal. I invite you to put it in your routine. It'll make a difference. The year 2020 can mean a new day for you.
A Quiet Time Journal has a daily Bible reading plan, a weekly prayer focus, a monthly meditation, plus space for you to journal your prayers. We'll send you a copy of Sheology as thanks for your gift today of $35 to this media ministry. Call now, 800-922-1888. Or you can give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
From the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, we are on the phone this afternoon with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, again, thanks. I know you're traveling. You're up in Colorado. Any snow up there?
Oh, yes. We were at our conference at the lovely Broadmoor Hotel, which is truly a gem of, you know, America. It's a beautiful setting up there in Colorado Springs, and it's a beautiful area. A little known fact to some people, America the Beautiful, the song was written in Colorado Springs. So it's an indicator of how pretty that area is. I mean, of course, we also love our scenic vistas and sunsets in Albuquerque. But yeah, there was very cold weather, 10 inches of snow on the ground.
Wow.
It felt like more like Christmas in Colorado Springs at the Broadmoor than it felt like the prelude to Halloween for us.
Well, I know northern New Mexico, many of the ski areas, I heard that Sipapu is opening this weekend. I know Taos and Red River and several others have gotten some snow. I don't know about their schedule to open, but that's good news for all of us because that snowpack makes our summer months much more comfortable and provides irrigation. So what a neat place we live. And again, Paul, thanks for joining us. We're talking about the Rio Grande Foundation, started talking a little bit about the Rail Runner and how it makes absolutely no economic sense. And before I, you know, we discussed an alternative, which would be to take some of that money, which would be, I would say, 30% of what's being spent now at a maximum, and you could create a bus system back and forth between Albuquerque and Santa Fe and even other cities and run many more buses, probably not even fill those up, and be much more convenient for the travelers going back and forth because they could make multiple stops in both cities. It could be much more timely, just all kinds of options there. But, Paul, let's talk about the Rio Grande Foundation. You address all these issues, and I'm going to say this. I hope it's not politically incorrect, but your attempt is to be bipartisan in your viewpoint, but you do have a leaning a little bit more conservatively, at least fiscally. You're very conservative in the way you present things. And I appreciate that because I'm a retired banker and I believe that we should spend less money than we have in our checking account. So I appreciate that perspective.
Exactly. we are firmly in the camp of limited government and individual liberty, and we are bipartisan. Generally, unfortunately, in New Mexico, that means that we get to bash both parties because, you know, the Democrats have controlled this state for a very long time, and that is just a reality. So we do criticize a lot of what the Democrats do. But in other cases where Republicans have made major mistakes, where they've grown government, where they've made unfortunate decisions, we have definitely not spared them criticism. And when they do the right thing, which occasionally does happen, we also praise them for that. You know, before we go on to the next subject, I will give some praise to Governor Bill Richardson, who did cut our income taxes rather significantly. When he was in office, people who were around during the Richardson administration may recall that our top income tax rate was 8.2% at that time. That rate was dropped down, thanks to Richardson and the Democrats in the legislature, to 4.9%. He spent a lot of money. He did some things like the Rail Runner and the spaceport that we felt were not good ideas at the time. But he also was a generally pro-business kind of Democrat in a way that, quite frankly, we're not seeing these days in the current Democrats that are in charge here in New Mexico or even around the country with folks like Elizabeth Warren and some of these other more hardline progressives. So, it's always a mixed bag with politicians. I've never met one who, really was as fiscally conservative as we would like them to be. Politicians just don't have that incentive. They have the, we're going to open the new project and cut the ribbon and have a big ceremony and maybe even get it named after the politician himself. Opening a new bus line or filling in a pothole, keeping the roads in good shape. Nobody notices those things, and it's tough for politicians to really run and make sure that voters know that they are getting those jobs done when they're just doing the basics of government. So it's really all about the incentives that politicians face, and it's part of the problem and part of the challenge for us is that, when you're running your own family budget, you really got to do the basics first. You got to pay the bills, make sure the house and the cars are in good repair, and then you can maybe make the new addition, the new sunroom, buy the new car, go on vacation to Disneyland or to Florida or whatever. But those are the popular decisions. You're a dad, I'm a dad. Putting the new roof on the house doesn't gain any plaudits from the kids, but the family vacation to Disney definitely does. And that's kind of the same incentive structure, except for politicians, they're not spending their own money. It's a whole different problem.
Well, Paul, you bring up that topic, and I can tell you from my perspective, and I understand I'll receive some criticism for this. I'm not actually criticizing. I understand when you make decisions, like the Rail Runner, well-intended, neat legacy thing if it really works. It reduces traffic. It does all these, things, pie-in-the-sky things that were talked about. But, if New Mexico was run like a business, that decision to shut this thing down and showing that it's very unprofitable would have happened several years ago if it was a business. But because it's a political type thing, it's a government type thing, the government just seems to be mired in its inefficiencies and spending habits. And I've seen one politician that I am aware of in the history of New Mexico that knew anything about managing money, and that's Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson's a guy that started a handyman business and became a multimillionaire because he built it into one of the top construction companies around. He knew how to manage money. And in fact, if I was a national politician of either party, I would have hired Gary Johnson to help me figure out a national budget because I think that's the kind of skill set that he has.
I have always enjoyed my experiences talking to and working with Gary Johnson. I was not in my current position while Johnson was in the governor's mansion, and it's one of the things I wish I had the opportunity to be there working at the Rio Grande Foundation, because Gary was a great fiscal conservative, tried to do a lot of good things for New Mexico, but I think he also felt very alone and kind of like he was a lone voice, albeit as governor. I would have liked for the Rio Grande Foundation to have the opportunity to kind of amplify and reinforce and, where necessary, criticize if he kind of went off in a direction that didn't make a lot of sense. One of the things I wish Gary Johnson had the opportunity to do was get some of his school choice programs in place. He really was a strong advocate for opening up the K-12 system for options for students. The legislature was hostile to that idea, and I think Gary's vision for education has played out as we would expect, because the education system in New Mexico, the latest test scores again show our poor performance relative to other states in the nation. And it's something that, the system as it exists is very resistant to change. It's very difficult. Education reform is certainly a big area of interest for us, and predominantly in the area of choice. And Gary certainly advocated for that, tried to get it done. Maybe wasn't always on point politically in the way he approached it, but he was going in the right direction. Unfortunately, the folks in the legislature at the time did not have the same vision as he did.
Paul, I probably don't. I should guess that I would know this answer already, but I really don't. If Gary Johnson just had the heart to come back and run for governor again, would he be allowed to do that?
I think he would be. I'm not sure if he has that level of interest at this point. You know, he's obviously run for president now twice. He ran for the U.S. Senate. He's an interesting cat when it comes to his personal time use and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he made his money. He sold his business. He loves to ski up in Taos, and I guess he wouldn't be too hindered in that by the governorship, because Santa Fe is not that far from Taos. And, you know, the governor, as tough of a job as those folks have, you know, they really just have to go sign the bills. That's their really big constitutional requirement. There's a lot of opportunities for them to kind of travel around and either sell New Mexico and try to get people to think about locating businesses in New Mexico and encouraging folks to come here. But I'm sure he could go out and do his 120 days of skiing in the winter. So I'll bet you he's probably already been up to Taos in the snow and is probably enjoying himself. So it's a question of whether he would choose to make that run for governor. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. We have Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, on the phone with us this afternoon, and we appreciate him being with us. We've got a few more segments with him. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Are you a teacher looking for a place to use the gift God has given you? Heights Christian Daycare on the corner of Louisiana and Comanche is accepting applications for both full and part-time teachers. If you're interested, please call 881-9529. At Heights Christian Daycare, it's our desire to minister to the children and families in our care with the love of Jesus Christ. If you're interested in joining our team, call now, 881-9529. That's 881-9529.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Here's our expert Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute.
What do Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and carrying a balance on your credit card to improve your credit score all have in common? All three are myths. But an astonishing 43 million cardholders believe having a balance improves your rating. That's despite all the credit reporting agencies saying it's not one of the factors they use to determine your FICO score. So what does improve your score? Your payment history. Are you making your payments on time? And your credit utilization, the amount you owe versus your available credit. Combined, make up 65% of your score. Make your payments and keep your balance low or at zero, and you're well on your way to improving your credit rating. It's more than half the battle.
You can learn more about saving, spending, and managing your money God's way when you check out our books and other resources at MoneyWise.org, MoneyWise.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing, the president of the New Mexico Foundation, is on the phone with us this afternoon, and we thank Paul for joining us. He's traveling in Colorado Springs, and 10 inches of snow is a lot of snow, Paul.
It is, and it was a challenging drive up last Monday when we made the trip driving up from Albuquerque to Colorado Springs. It was quite a voyage, the snow falling and roads, even interstates being covered in snow, and the old Raton Pass is always a treacherous drive, even best of conditions.
The Raton Impasse, you mean? Very difficult place to drive. Hey, I don't want to bash the Rail Runner and its democratic conception too much, because we're going to talk about the art project in a minute, but I have one last question about it. You are Michelle Lujan Grisham. Put yourself in her shoes. She's the governor. She wants to do something great for the state. She's taking a look at how many people are using the Rail Runner and the 25 plus million a year it's costing to operate. She has multiple plans probably sitting on her desk. People have talked to her about creating a bus system or some other thing that would cost 30% of what we're spending now. Why wouldn't she just make the decision to shut that thing down?
The sunk cost fallacy is the big one. It's like somebody who's lost money in the stock market on a particular stock. They don't want to sell it and get out because they're hoping it'll come back. That's one area where the sunk cost fallacy arises. So that's kind of one of the mentalities that she has. But I think there's an element in her political base, so-called environmentalists, who are tied to that fixed rail transit as being the solution, even if it's not green. That's the thing, is that an unfull train is not particularly green or good for the environment. Trains are very heavy. They take a lot of energy to push them up the La Bajada Hill, or the hills in that area, and up and down from Santa Fe. Buses could actually carry a lot more people to and from Santa Fe. Because if you've ever ridden the train, as I have, one of the biggest problems and impediments is that it stops a lot, and it makes it a very long trip up from Albuquerque to Santa Fe. And that's after you take the time to drive from wherever you actually live to the train station, wait for the train, and then take the train up with all the stops that you have to have on the way up. And then you have limited flexibility in times, so you have to go there when the train is available, not at your time, your preferred schedule. A bus system, running buses, you could go to Coronado Mall, Cottonwood Mall, you could run them down to Berlin, or you could run them to other prominent places around the city, and then have those on a much more regular time basis, traveling up to Santa Fe and bringing, commuters up to those areas. But, again, I really think that it comes down to politicians like those big, fancy, permanent-looking projects, as opposed to something that actually gets the job done at the lowest cost and the most convenience to the person. It's really a bad incentive for politicians. It's why, ultimately the Rio Grande Foundation believes that politics, governments, and politicians should have a very limited, narrow role in our economy, because it's the customers, the people actually using their own money for whatever service it might be, that really can make the best decision, not some politician who doesn't. I'll bet you Michelle Lujan Grisham's never ridden the Rail Runner, and probably Bill Richardson and Susana Martinez are in the same boat. Yes. They would never step foot on the Rail Runner.
Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation on the phone with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Paul, let's keep talking about transportation before we talk about the election. And now we get to pick on the Republicans a little bit. Our former mayor decided that he was going to bottleneck all of Central by putting it down to one driving lane. He was going to have handicapped platforms placed in the middle of the street on elevated platforms that required really expensive buses that are not manufactured anywhere, apparently, because we can't obtain them. And after talking about the Rail Runner and then looking at the ART project, I want to throw my hands up in the air and say, look, as Frank Caliendo used to impersonate George W. Bush, this is not rocket surgery, people. How can you possibly, think this was a good idea?
That's another excellent question. And you're right, R.J. Berry was a Republican. We at the Rio Grande Foundation were one of the very early groups or individuals, myself, out questioning why the mayor was pushing this project. It's proven to be an unmitigated disaster for the simple fact that it's been a year and a half since we were supposed to have this thing up and running, almost 2 years, really. Now we're, it's hard to believe 2019 is almost in the book. So this project was supposed to be up and running 2 years ago, and we're still waiting. It's obviously messed up Central's traffic flows, and, we're seeing just in the last few days here in the newspaper how neighbors, folks living along Lead and Coles, the two kind of adjacent east-west roads that compete, if you will, with Central, and I travel over to that area around the university and around Central on a regular basis, and I don't go down Central like I used to. I use Lead and Coal. I don't think those roads are particularly problematic. I don't live on those roads. But, of course, what's happened is that people don't like traveling on Central anymore because it doesn't flow, because they've taken lanes out and made it more difficult. And so now all the traffic's moved over to Lead and Coal, and now we're going to see what the current mayor does to alter the situation, hopefully improve Lead and Coal, but also not impede traffic flows, because that's what we're seeing, is just you're pushing on a balloon of traffic. Even when the ART starts running, that's not going to solve the traffic problem. You're going to have extremely minimal ridership. It just doesn't go to and from places that people need to go on a regular basis. And so from that point right there, it was just an ill-conceived project at the very outset. And the fact that the electric buses, the whole system hasn't worked at all is just icing on the cake of a really bad idea from former Mayor R.J. Berry. And it's really unfortunate that, I like the mayor, former Mayor Berry, as a person. He, I think, tried to do a lot of good things for the city, but his legacy will be this disastrous ART project. And it's really, I guess the good news is it's so bad that no other politician, including the current progressive governor or mayor, have come along with the kind of idea to amplify or expand or do other transit like what this ART project is, because nobody would go for it. I think people are finally fed up. It just took them way too long to figure it out, unfortunately.
Well, Paul, I don't know how long you've been here, but I'm a University of New Mexico graduate, and I can tell you that old Route 66 Central, I can remember back in the day when the freeway system was first built. Before that, 66 was all the way down Central. And then as soon as they built the highway system, a certain part of Central kind of became the red light district. And I remember, 40 years ago, politicians talking about how to get rid of, how to improve Central and how to make it a kind of a walking destination, very similar to what you might find in Santa Fe. And I think they began to accomplish that in and around the University of New Mexico. We used to be able to walk up Central from Girard and go to restaurants and coffee shops. And I think that's true right across the street from the University of New Mexico. But now the ART project has taken all those small businessmen and almost bankrupted them during construction. And now, you've already described yourself, you're not even driving on Central, so you're not going to be stopping in for a cup of coffee or for lunch. There's hardly anywhere to park because the road has been narrowed. The parking spaces all along the side and so forth have been affected. So, again, Mayor Berry did a lot of good things for our city, and I'm sorry that this is going to be a legacy, but I view our politicians, or I ask the question all the time, why can't our mayor, why can't our governor, why can't our president of the United States run our country, our state, our city like a business? You're going to make some mistakes, but you got to be able to correct them. And the political process, Paul, seems to have totally taken away the ability for leaders to make changes when they have a bad idea.
Well, there are examples of success, and I'm not going to really get into the national political scene, but what I like to do and what we do at the Rio Grande Foundation is we accept the fact that politicians are going to do a lot of things that we disagree with because of the incentives they face. However, there are examples of success in public policy in states that have done things, politicians that have done things that really have led to great results. And you don't have to look very far from New Mexico to find those states. We are surrounded by some of the most economically dynamic, fast growing in terms of population. So people voting with their feet, coming to a place where they're going to settle and create lives by choice. They're not just locked into the policies because they grew up there, their parents are from there. They're moving voluntarily to places that are really successful. And, you know, you look at Texas, you look at Oklahoma, you look at Colorado, Utah, Arizona. Each of those states has a unique story to tell about what it's doing right, especially relative to New Mexico, where really right now we're just an oil boom dropping away from being back to 8 years of slow growth and really kind of challenging public policy in the land of enchantment. Texas has no income tax. It's a right-to-work state. Texas is consistently among the fastest growing, most dynamic states in the country. Colorado strictly limits government spending and taxes. If you want to raise taxes at any level of government in the state of Colorado under their Taxpayers Bill of Rights, you have to go and have a vote of the people. And if they get more money than inflation and population growth, every taxpayer gets a check back from the state. It's a beautiful thing. And Colorado has this on the ballot, on the books, even though they're kind of a bluish liberal state like we are. Utah is a very dynamic state as well, right to work, and so is Arizona. And you go to Phoenix, you go to Salt Lake City, you go to Denver, you go to Austin or Dallas or Houston, even Oklahoma City, and you just see what a dynamic economy looks like. And there's so many lessons, and I've just touched on some of the big ones, but there's so many lessons that we could learn here in New Mexico, where we're kind of just riding this oil wave right now, which is fine as far as it goes, but we need to be doing things actively to make our state better, more attractive, more diverse when it comes to business growth and opportunity.
Absolutely. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, on the phone with us this afternoon. We'll be back with more from Paul right after these messages.
Imagine this. Judas was with Jesus 3 years before he turned traitor. Skip Heitzig hits a nerve on loyalty.
He ate meals with him. He listened to his sermons. He saw him raise dead people, heal blind people.
Judas could not tolerate the cross. As Skip says,
he wanted a crown, and he wanted to be one who would have authority. If there's going to be a kingdom, he wanted to be first. First in line. The thing is, you have to go to the cross to wear the crown.
Access Skip's entire teaching library at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. Anybody can love an ideal person. The challenge is to love the real person.
Love the real person.
Jesus chose Judas, knowing all along who this man was and what he would do.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app. Now this.
You, over time, have learned to develop mechanisms around your life to become harder, maybe even bitter. And I just want to say, don't. Stop. Love anyway.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
You know, when you think about the spiritual habits of the Christian life, planning probably isn't the first thing to come to mind. But throughout the scriptures, we see that the godly person is one, as I like to say, who plans to work and then works the plan. All too often, we accomplish half of what we could because we fail to plan to work. We fail to make those plans and then work to carry them out. So be sure to stop today in a quiet place. Write down the answer to a simple question. What good should I do for the glory of Christ today? And maybe you write down this week. What good should I do for the glory of Christ this month or this year? And I think you'll find that God will then begin to enable you to work that plan. And you will actually accomplish more for His glory than you ever thought you could.
Right thinking leads to right living. Want more? Power up with Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point, a half hour of hard-hitting Bible teaching here on your station. Or check it out online at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into the Power Ford Studios. Faith, Family, Ford, Power Ford. We appreciate their sponsorship of the program. Paul Gessing, the president of the New Mexico Foundation, is on the phone with us this afternoon. And if you would like a lot of information about the issues and things going around the state and the city of Albuquerque, state of New Mexico, obviously, there is a wealth of information on RioGrandeFoundation.org. Paul started this organization. They do a ton of research. They have a lot of great comments and things that they make. And it is a bipartisan website in that they pick on both parties equally. Paul, is that accurate?
Yeah, when the parties have political power and they are doing either good or bad things, and we do try to desperately search for politicians in New Mexico that are doing the right things, or even are considering doing the right thing. So, you know, it's just a challenge sometimes, because New Mexico is widely known around the country as a state where governance and the political process work against business economic growth. It works against personal freedom, and it's one of the real challenges the state faces and has faced, quite frankly, for many, many years. So we try to work to educate people and politicians and anybody who will listen about these issues and how they can be solved, how we're inflicting our own wounds on ourselves and driving the poverty that the state has when we should be one of the richest states in the entire country.
Well, we are right now in the middle of early voting for the municipal elections. So we have on the ballot right now, we have city councilors. We have school board members and things for the Albuquerque Public Schools. We have a couple of propositions that are put on the ballot, a thing that drives me crazy called democracy dollars, which we'll talk about in a minute. But one of the things on your website is how voters may possibly save some tax money. And I'd like to ask you about that first. How can we help reduce taxes?
Well, there's multiple ways to potentially do that on this ballot, at least locally here in Albuquerque. The easiest and most direct way, and we talked pretty extensively early in the show about transportation and transit and its lack of effectiveness, we have a gross receipts tax, a quarter of a cent on the ballot for renewal that I think really voters need to question whether that is being used effectively for the local roads. First and foremost, 38 cents of every dollar raised by that gross receipts tax goes to transit, which the ART is the primary example of a misguided transit system. But even our buses, I live along Coors Boulevard, and you see buses, you know, especially the big articulated ones, going up and down Coors with maybe one or two people on it. And that's not only financially inefficient, it's environmentally inefficient. Anyone who says that driving a gigantic bus up and down a road is better for the environment with one or two people on it than driving your personal vehicle is just crazy. The buses are not environmentally efficient when they're unfull, and that's just becoming a huge problem in our city. So I think voters really do themselves a favor, do the local economy a favor by rejecting that quarter cent tax. But you also have bonds and you know, property taxes on the ballot. There's a number of them. Some of them are more justified than others, but you can lower your property taxes if a bond or two were to be defeated on this fall's election ballot. So there's a lot of ways that people can do themselves a favor financially and make government earn our money. They've gotten used to just putting something out on the ballot and people go ahead and vote for it no matter how well or poorly that money is actually used.
Yes. Well, Paul, we've talked about, you know, politicians and money. And I will say this about people in general. I think that there are people that are maybe connectors like yourself that bring different entities together and provide information. There are people that are teachers. You may also be like that. I know pastors like Skip Heitzik at Calvary of Albuquerque. He's a teacher. That's how he's gifted. Now, I don't know how Skip handles money, but I know that he has a professionally gifted person that manages the finances for the church. He has a board of directors that set up financial accountability. I know that Gary Johnson, we already talked about him, he seemed to be particularly talented at getting rid of the fat in the state budget. We're the poorest state in the country. You've already stated we shouldn't be. We should be one of the richest because we have a lot of resources. But Gary Johnson ran us in the black. He didn't spend more than we had in the coffers. And by the way, he wasn't necessarily taking advantage of a boon in the oil and gas industry, which we are experiencing now. So that's not a criticism. I mean, hey, southeast part of the state, go for it. Keep producing that oil. I mean, we're one of the top producers of oil in the country, and we want great success for that part of the state, but we don't want the money that's being allocated for education and the Superfund to be spent on other kinds of things. And we talked about education. It's my understanding, based on a previous guest that we had, Vallante, New Mexico, Rhiannon and Samuel shared with us that right now, per student in the Albuquerque Public Schools, we are third in the country as to the amount of money spent on each student, yet we are last in quality of education nationally. Crazy statistics.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different ways to go with that, but I always just get back to the incentives that politicians have versus you, the taxpayer, or we, the taxpayer. You know, Milton Friedman, the great Nobel Prize winning economist, talked about the three different ways that people can spend money. And as we approach the holidays, it's always a great time to kind of reflect on that, because the most efficient way to spend money is for you to spend money on yourself. But then, you know, at the holidays, we're buying gifts for other people, which is a second best way to do things, and that is, you know, you're buying something, you know, you have a budget, you're not going to go crazy. And, you know, I love those car commercials, you know, the Mercedes or Ford or whoever it is, where the wife wakes up and the snow's falling on their brand new $50,000 vehicle in the front driveway. It's like, that's so unrealistic, but it shows, you know, this idea of somebody buying something for somebody else and how they have the budget in their minds, but they you know, don't necessarily know what the other person's going to want. So that's the second way to buy things. And then you have politicians where they're using other people's money, so they have no budget, they have no understanding of the value of that, the money, the blood, sweat, and tears that went into the paying those taxes and getting that money. And then they're buying something for somebody that they don't even know what they really want, that person really wants. And so, you know, really, government is by definition the least efficient way to do things in our society. And the idea that we want to keep pouring more money into this very deeply flawed institution instead of relying on the market or charity or other systems of doing things, it's just, it's crazy. And that's kind of what we at the Rio Grande Foundation, our most basic approach involves, just understanding the incentives and challenges that politicians face when spending our money on our behalf, and how those are inferior in almost every way to leaving that money in our pockets and letting us make the better decision. And you know, you mentioned education. That is a perfect example. I would love to see a system that involved more individual control over education resources, more competition out with the public schools, either you know, giving up the direct access to the taxpayer dollar and having to compete in a more market-oriented system, or something, really shaking up our education system, because it's really failing New Mexico and the unwillingness of politicians to address it is nothing short of a crime.
Paul, you're going to be mad at me, but I'm writing down notes here as we're talking. Next show with Paul is talking about education. So I'm drafting you and pleading with you to spend some more time with us. We're going to have one more segment with Paul Gessing. He is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200 or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
Peter's letting them know, hey, trial hardship's gonna get worse before it gets better. But here's this book, which he tells them, and all you're gonna face, here's the key word to the book of 1 Peter, ready? Triumph. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way. He said, the great theme of this little book is that the Christian life is a life of triumph. He says the guy who's about to get crucified upside down? Yeah, strike me down. I'll become stronger and more powerful than you could ever possibly imagine. Come on, Darth Vader. You think about, like, Peter's like, try me. See what you got. Hit me with your best shot, right? I mean, the Christian life is a lot. In your pain, in your hardship, in your difficulty, this letter says dawn is coming. Glory is coming. God has a plan. Nero can't stop it. Satan can't stop it. The world can't mess with it. That's the message of 1 Peter. Trials are temporary, but triumph is forever.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. One final segment with Paul Gessing. He is the president of the Albuquerque Rio Grande Foundation, located in Albuquerque. Rio Grande Foundation is a research organization, and they have a great website. Paul does a lot of public speaking, and they talk about public policy issues, and education's a big one. Paul, what do you think about the educational bills on the ballot?
Well, there's $290 million in bonds for APS. Of course, Albuquerque Public Schools tried to convince voters to approve a massive property tax increase back in January, and the voters told them to take a hike. They are looking for now more of a bond renewal. And there's no doubt that there's schools in APS that could use a facelift or significant repairs. And I think we just need to, at this point, transform the leadership of APS and move in a direction of people who are going to really reform that institution and get more for our money. We haven't taken a position really on the $290 million and what folks should do or not do about that. Safe to say that APS could do a much better job with its infrastructure spending than they're doing now. But the school board is where I really think people need to focus their attention when it comes to this fall's ballot. And, just another major
Paula,
a
big challenge about these school board members that are running is that there's very little information about any of them available. You can go to the League of Women
right.
Voters and other, and there's just not enough information to know where they stand on anything. They all make what I will call flowery statements and nice, ecumenical statements about how nice everything is and how beautiful everything is and what their intentions are, but they don't really speak as to any issues.
No, you're right. And that's one of the unfortunate aspects of some of our elections, and I think maybe our political culture, is that there's some consultant somewhere that's telling these folks not to take the system on headlong. Peggy Muller-Aragon is my APS board member, and she is definitely a critic of the way the existing system works. But even in her campaign material, she's much more circumspect and much more trying to be, you know, seen as a team player than a kind of critic of the system and the way it works. So I think we need to, as citizens, study the people on those boards and the candidates and really try to understand if they're going to be part of the problem or part of the solution. And it's not easy. I totally understand that. And you know, I know we want to talk about democracy dollars here. We've kind of covered a gamut. But, yeah, really in brief, democracy dollars is this taxpayer-financed City of Albuquerque proposal put on the ballot by a large group of left-wing oriented nonprofits that would create a $25 voucher available for every quote-unquote resident. And I use that quote-unquote because that could be, as written, anything. 12-year-old kids, felons, illegal immigrants, homeless. These people could all receive these $25 certificates. We don't know anything more. And those certificates will then be used, collected by politicians or interest groups to then fund the campaigns of politicians running for city council or mayor, coming on top of the existing public financing system that we already have in place. So it's just another, I think, boondoggle of spending on an area that's not going to solve the problem that they say it's going to solve, and it's really going to create some bad incentives for both the politicians getting these things, but also the people who, you know, if you have a democracy dollar and you don't care who gets it, someone might come along with cash and give it to you, you know, $5, $10. It sure beats having $25 of democracy dollars that don't really do anything for you, but the politician can turn that into campaign cash. And there's so many problems with democracy dollars that I just hope voters really are skeptical about anything that's that transformative and kind of, I think, ill-advised and really kind of crazy, honestly.
Well, I think the real deterrent is this. That $25 is a tax, and that's $12,500,000 based on just 500,000 residents in Albuquerque. And I'd love to know where that money's coming from. So when I don't know those answers, I'm not voting for it. So Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, you have been very generous with your time today. Safe travels, my friend. I plead with you to come back on and talk to us some more. So I'm going to send out an invitation for you to join us in another few weeks.
Sounds good. You named the issue in New Mexico politics involving our economy, our education system, the Constitution, and we will happily talk about it because educating New Mexicans and the elected officials in office is what we do.
Fantastic. Paul Gessing, thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.